Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation. This is a recording entitled The Law of Deliberate Creation, and this is the third. And now, Esther will take a moment to quiet her conscious thinking mind as she invites Abraham, the group of non-physical teachers, to speak this material through her to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are pleased to interact with you upon this selected title, The Deliberate Creative Process. There is perhaps not a subject of greater importance, for upon this recording, it is our desire to impart the process for the receiving, the deliberate receiving, of whatever it is that you are wanting upon any number of subjects. We have put emphasis upon the word deliberate, for it is our absolute knowing that without exception, each of you as individuals are already attracting to you whatever it is you are getting. There is not an exception to that. Through your thoughts and through your words and through your actions, your words and actions being extensions of your thought, you are attracting everything that you are getting. In short, you invite into your experience through thought. The purpose of this recording is to help you understand how you are getting what you are getting, so that you may be more definitive in your attracting of it, that you may attract those things, more of those things, or all of those things that you are wanting, while you may avoid the attraction of those things which you are not wanting. Always, as we begin to impart our knowledge regarding the deliberate creative process, we meet with resistance, for there are always those who have things in their life experience that they do not want to be there. And so as they hear us say, all things are invited by you, the resistance comes forth, for they say, Abraham, I would not have invited this, for I want it not. And so we must clarify, we do not believe that you have invited it or attracted it or created it on purpose. But we will say to you, you are the inviter, the attractor, the creator of it, for you have done it by giving thought to it. We did not say you did it on purpose. In fact, we will say in most cases you are doing it by default. You are applying laws and processes that you do not understand, reaping results, benefits or disadvantages that you do not understand, and so that is why we have come forth, to speak to you the universal laws that you may understand how you're getting what you're getting, so that you may have some deliberate control in the attraction of that which you are getting. Because most physical beings are not well attuned to the existence of the non-physical world, they want to make everything explainable through physical perception. We would draw a comparison as you are wanting a glass of water. And so you go to your faucet in your kitchen, turn a little knob, hold your glass beneath the faucet, and then you would explain to others, this is where the water comes from.
Right.
While you understand, without our explaining, that there is much more to the story of where the water is coming from. And so it is with all things that you are experiencing in your physical setting. You are explaining only a little bit of what makes things happen. And we are here to explain to you the rest of it. You have emerged into a physical dimension from your broader non-physical perspective with great intent and purpose. You have come forth because you are first wanting very much this physical experience. It is not the first of such experiences. You have had many physical as well as non-physical life experiences. And you have emerged into this one because you are wanting to add to that continuing, evolving being that you really are. A being that through these eyes you may not see. A being that through this body and through these physical senses you may not now know. But a being, indeed a part of you, a broader, expansive, growth-seeking, joy-seeking, evolving you. The purpose of this recording is to help you understand that you and you alone are the creator of your experience, that you may be more deliberate in that creation. The reason that we are introducing you to the inner you is because you have agreed to interact with that inner you for the sake of guidance. You may have noticed that as you emerged into this life experience, you did not bring with you memory of that which you have lived before. And there is good reason for that. For you would find yourself spending more time focused into your very vast past than in this very brief now. And so in order to get the most out of the now, you are not remembering all of that past. You may, however, have access to the advantage of the total you by recognizing that that total you exists, and by recognizing that that total you, we refer to it as your inner being, communicates with you and has done from the day you emerged into this physical body. That communication has many varieties, but all of you are receiving the basic communication that comes forth in the form of emotion. All emotion that you feel, without exception, is communication from your inner being, letting you know the appropriateness of whatever you are thinking or speaking or acting in the moment. As you think a thought that is not in harmony with your overall intents, your inner being will offer you negative emotion. As you do something or say something that is not in harmony with who you are and what you are wanting, your inner being will offer you negative emotion. And in like way, when you are speaking or thinking or acting in the direction of that which is in harmony with your intentions, your inner being will offer you positive emotions. There are only two emotions. One feels good and one feels bad. You call them all sorts of different things, depending upon the situation that brought them forth. But as you recognize that this guidance system that comes forth from within you in the form of emotion speaks to you from broader, all-inclusive perspective, then you will recognize that you have the benefit of the intentions that you hold here today. You have the benefit of the intentions that you emerged into this physical body with. You have the ability to factor in all the details of your wants and your beliefs in order to make the absolute appropriate decision at any point in time. The greatest resistance that we are receiving from those we are interacting with here in your environment is that they are not trusting that that which comes forth from within them is the real law or the real rule. They are worried that there is some greater judgment that they may not be receiving. And they are afraid to move forward trusting their own guidance, their own conscience, so to speak, because they believe that there may be someone who knows more clearly what is appropriate for them. Most physical beings do not trust themselves, which is amazing to us, for it is our knowing that that which comes forth from within you is all that you may trust. But instead, they are spending most of their physical lifetime seeking a set of rules or a set of people, a religious group, if you will tell them what is right and wrong. And then they spend the rest of their physical experience trying to hammer a square peg into a round hole, trying to make those rules, usually rules that were written thousands of years before this time, fit into this life experience. As a result, what we see for the most part is frustration and at best confusion. And we also have noticed that there are many who die every year as they are arguing about whose set of rules is most appropriate. We say to you that overall, all-inclusive, never-changing set of rules does not exist. for you are ever-changing, growth-seeking beings. If your house were on fire, and the firemen came with their truck, that marvelous equipment with the big long hoses and all of the water surging through, and put the hoses into your house and extinguished the flame, you would say, indeed, that is most appropriate behavior. But if on a day when there was no fire, those same men and the same hoses were to enter your house, spraying water around, you would say, indeed, that was not appropriate. And so it is with the laws that you are passing one from another. Most of them are not appropriate to that which you are now living. If you had not intended growth, you would not be here in this physical life experience. And if that which was figured out long ago was the ultimate, then there would be no reason for your existence today. You are here as an expanding, ever-changing, growth-seeking being because you are wanting to add unto that which you understand. And you are wanting to add unto that which all that is understands. Now let us talk about the deliberate creative process. How are you getting what you are getting? You are attracting through thought. In short, you get what you think about. And so as we offer those words, as you are receiving them and accepting them, you say, indeed, I have a very great task, for my thoughts are coming very fast. And to monitor my thoughts would be a very difficult thing to do. We are in agreement. Monitoring your thoughts would be very time-consuming. And most would not be able to do much deliberate creating when you are spending most of your time monitoring your thoughts. And that is the reason that we have introduced to you, before we have begun the process, your guidance system, the emotional communication from your inner being. For if you will pay attention to the way that you are feeling, then a monitoring of thoughts is not so necessary. Know that when you are feeling good, you are speaking or thinking or acting in accordance with your intentions. And that when you are feeling bad, you are not. In short, when there is negative emotion present within you, you are in that moment miscreating, either through your thought or through your word or through your action. And so the combination of being more deliberate about what you want, more clear about what you intend, and a sensitivity to the way you feel, that is in essence what the deliberate creative process is all about. The big question that usually comes up at this point of our discussion is, Abraham, how do I know that what comes forth from within me may be trusted? Is there not one greater than I who makes the rules, who wants me to be or do specific things? And we say, you are the creator of your experience, and you have emerged forth into this physical body by the power of your wanting. You are not here to prove yourself worthy of something else. You are not here because you seek greater salvation on some other plane. You are here because you have specific purpose in being here. You are wanting to be deliberate creator. And you have chosen this dimension where there is time and space that you may finally tune your understanding and see the benefit of what you have created in thought by allowing it to come into your physical experience. And all that you do pleases that which you seek to please. There is not a list of things that are right and a list of things that are wrong. However, there are those things that are appropriate and inappropriate. And you may trust your guidance that comes forth from within to help you know when you are doing that which is appropriate and that which is inappropriate. There is a great and powerful law in your universe. In fact, it exists in all universes. And in fact, it is the most powerful of all laws, and it is the law of attraction. That which is likened to itself is drawn. Thoughts that are similar are drawn magnetically one to another through the power of this law. people who feel a certain way are drawn to one another magnetically through this law. Indeed, the very thoughts that you think are drawn one and to the other, until a very small or insignificant and unpowerful thought may, because of your focus upon it, grow to be very powerful. In like manner, you are each powerful magnets, attracting unto you more of the way that you feel at any point in time. This law of attraction is responsible for much that you see that is obvious in your life experience. You have coined many phrases because of your understanding, in part, of this law. You say that birds that are of like feather flock together. You say the better it gets, the better it gets, and the worse it gets, the worse it gets. You say this day started out bad and ended up much, much worse. But even as you are saying these things, it is our knowing that you are not really understanding how powerful the law of attraction is. And so here on this recording, we will express it in many different ways, that you may understand how it is that you are attracting everything into your life experience. We say unto you, there is not another who creates in your experience. You are doing it all. You get all of the credit. And we will also say to you, that as you are hearing these words and then you are looking around your life experience, at your own experience and at those who are near you, you will find not a shred of evidence that is to the contrary of these powerful laws that we are expressing here to you. You will notice an absolute correlation between what you are thinking and speaking and what you are getting. And you will notice it with others. In fact, it is sometimes easier to see with others. Have you not noticed that those who speak most of illness have more of it? Have you not noticed that those who speak more of poverty or of prosperity have more of it? As you understand that your thoughts are magnetic, and as you understand that they will attract more and more that are likened to them until they become more powerful, can you not see that as you think about something that you do not want, that if you allow yourself to stay focused upon that thought, that you will attract more and more thoughts that are likened to it? In fact, that thought will grow so powerful that you may find yourself reaching into your past experiences for examples that are similar. And then you may find yourself speaking about it to another, who then will reach into their past experience to bring forth more. And they will bring more and more until eventually you find yourself absolutely surrounded by thoughts and words that are in the direction of that which you do not want. If you are sensitive to the way that you are feeling, you will not feel good through all of that. You will have a sort of raw donut, a sick feeling in the pit of your stomach, for your inner being will be saying to you all the while, you are thinking and speaking about that which you do not want. And the reason your inner being is offering you that warning signal, warning bell, is because your inner being understands the law of attraction. Your inner being understands that while you are thinking and speaking of these things, that you are in fact a magnet attracting circumstances and events and other beings unto you. And that soon you will have in your experience the very thing that you are speaking about that you do not want. And in like manner, if you are speaking of that which you do want, your thoughts will be drawn more unto that. You will draw more others who are wanting to talk about that. And all the while you are speaking of what you do want, your inner being will offer you that positive emotion to let you know that you are in harmony and that that which you are attracting is in harmony with the intentions that you hold. Now we have sufficiently discussed the powerful law of attraction. We will explain to you the law of deliberate creation. The law of deliberate creation is a delicately balanced law, and it has two parts. On the one hand, there is the thought of what you are wanting. And on the other hand, there is the expectation or belief or allowing of what you have created through thought into your experience. And so you say, I want a new red car. You have literally, through thought, set forth the beginning of the creation of that red car in your experience. The more clarity you give to that thought, the more you are able to imagine that red car within your experience, the more excited about it you will be. And the more excited or the more positive emotion that comes forth as you think about your red car, then the faster that red car is coming into your experience. Once you have created it through thought, and once you have added the power of emotion to that thought, the car is yours. It has been created. It now exists. And in order to have it in your experience, you have only to allow it. And you do that by expecting it, by believing it, and by letting it be. What we see for most of you is a stifling of your creation right in the beginning. You say, I want a new red car, which begins the creation of it. And then you add, but it is too expensive, which literally cancels the creation. In other words, you are doing one part of the creating in your wanting, but you are eliminating the creation of that which you are wanting by not believing or by not expecting, by not allowing. And so both parts of this process are necessary in order to bring your creations into your physical experience. Sometimes we see that you have created masterfully. You have given much thought and much excited emotion or anticipation to what you are wanting. And in the beginning, you remain expectant. And as you are excitedly, expectantly thinking of that which you've created in thought, it is on its way to you. But then you express your desire to another who begins to tell you all of the reasons why it cannot be or why it should not be. And then you begin to focus upon the lack of what you want instead of upon the subject of what you want. And while it may seem as if it is the same, there is a very great difference. For as you are focused upon the subject of your desire, you are attracting it. As you are focused upon the lack of your desire, you are pushing it away. And so as you say, I want a new red car, and I know it is coming to me, it is. But as you are saying, but where is it? I've wanted it for a very long time. I believed Abraham, but the things that I want are not coming. Now you are not focused upon what you are wanting. Now you are focused upon the lack of what you are wanting, and you are getting, by the law of attraction, what you are focused upon. If you focus upon the car that you want, you attract the car that you want. If you focus upon the lack of the car that you want, you attract more of the lack. Seems a very subtle difference, but it is a very great difference. And if you are paying attention to the way that you are feeling, you will know if you are focused upon what you want or upon the lack of it. For when you think of what you want, you feel good. When you think of the lack of what you want, you feel bad. As you say, I am wanting the dollars to support my lifestyle. There are things that I am wanting that I do not now have. You are attracting the dollars, but as you focus upon the things that you want that you do not have, noticing the lack, you are pushing the dollars away. Here is an exercise that will assist you in your deliberate creating. Take three separate pieces of paper, and at the top of each page, write one thing that you want. Now take your first paper. And beneath the subject of what you are wanting, write, these are the reasons that I want this. Write whatever comes to your mind, whatever flows forth naturally. Do not try to force it. And when nothing more comes, you are complete for now. Turn the paper over and begin writing at the top of the paper, these are the reasons that I believe that I will have this that I want. The first side of your paper is enhancing what you are wanting, the first side of the equation. The second side of the paper is enhancing your belief that you will have it. And as you have written why you want what you want and why you know that you will have what you want, you have set forth and are now expecting and therefore will receive the subject of your wanting. All that is necessary is that you want it and keep expecting it until you have it, and it will be yours. In this exercise, we are encouraging that you select only three things that you are wanting, for there will be more power of focus. Eventually, once you are understanding the process, you will be able to simultaneously create in many directions. Before you will experience something in your physical life experience, you must first give thought to it. Your thought is the invitation, and without it, it will not come. We are encouraging intentional deciding of what is wanted, and then intentional giving of thought to those things that are wanted, while you are intentionally not giving thought to those things that are not wanted. And in suggesting this, we encourage that you set forth some time in every day where you sit and intentionally bring together your thoughts into a sort of vision of what you are wanting in your life experience. We have been referring to this time as your workshop for deliberate creating. If we were to say, go now, and begin to envision yourself in the life experience that you are wanting, many of you would have a difficult time doing it, for you have not been intentionally collecting data in which to work upon in your workshop. By collecting data, what we are encouraging is that in every day, as you are getting out of bed, that you set forth an intention that no matter what you are doing in this day, no matter who you are interacting with in this day, that you will let your dominant intention be to look for things that you like. Whatever it is that you see, with whoever you are interacting with, if you are intending to look for things that you like, then you will be effectively and deliberately collecting data. Tomorrow, when you decide to take 15 or 20 minutes to go to your workshop, which is the place where all deliberate creating begins, you can bring together the combinations of that data to begin envisioning yourself in your life as you want to be. We have told you that your thoughts are magnetic. But we are wanting to add a point of clarification here, and you will be relieved as you hear this, for we are wanting you to know that while every thought has creative potential, that the thoughts that do not have great emotion at the same time are not bringing into your experience with any sort of speed the subject of your thought. In other words, that which you are emotional about, whether it is positive emotion or negative emotion, those thoughts are quickly manifesting into your physical experience. The emotion that you feel is your communication, letting you know that you have now accessed the power of the universe. That power from the universe comes forth when you are clearest in your thought. If you go to a horror movie, and as you are sitting there in the theater looking upon the screen at all of the detail that is offered with the color and the sound, you are at that time in a negative workshop. For as you are envisioning all of that that you do not want to see, the emotion that you feel is your inner being saying to you, you are seeing something that is so vivid that the universe is now offering power unto it. When you leave the theater, fortunately, you usually say it was only a movie, and so you do not expect, you do not believe it will happen to you, and so you do not complete the second part of the equation. You have given thought to it with emotion, and so you have created it, but you do not allow it into your experience because you do not really expect it. However, as you are walking out, if your friend says to you, it may only be a movie, but it happened to me, then you may begin pondering that thought, and you may bring yourself to belief or expectation that that will happen to you, and then it will. Giving thought on the one hand and expecting or believing on the other hand is the balance that brings to you that which you receive. If you are wanting and expecting, it will be yours very soon. However, it is not often that you have achieved a balance in this process where your wanting and your expecting are equal. Sometimes your wanting is very high, but your belief is not there at all. For example, the mother whose child is trapped beneath the automobile, she does not believe that she can lift that heavy vehicle from her child, but her wanting is so extreme that she does. There are many examples where your belief is high, but your wanting is not so high. Creation of illness, such as cancer, is that sort of example, where your belief in it is very keen, while your wanting is not. Many of you find yourself in what we would term a negative workshop many times in a day. In fact, much more often are you in a negative workshop than in a positive workshop. There is more predominance of negative belief that surrounds you. And so it is by natural process that you find yourself pondering negatively rather than positively. As you are sitting at your desk with your stack of bills beside you, feeling the tension, even the fear, because there is not enough money to pay the bills, or at least not enough to pay the bills and do the things you are really wanting to do. And as you sit there giving thought that there is not enough money, you are in the perfect position for the creating of more of what you do not want. And the way you feel about it is your signal from inner being saying to you that that which you are thinking is not in harmony with what you are wanting. Now let us summarize all that we have offered here, that you may have a clear and definite plan for the deliberate control of your life experience. First, recognize that you are more than you see here in this physical body, that there is a broader, wiser, certainly older part of you that remembers all that you have lived and, more importantly, knows that which you now are. And from that broader, all-encompassing perspective can offer you clear and absolute information as to the appropriateness of that which you are doing or speaking or thinking, or to that which you are about to do or about to speak. If you will set forth the intentions that are yours at this time, then your guidance system can work even more effectively, for it has the ability to include all of the data, all of your desires, all of your intentions, all of your beliefs, and compare it with what you are doing or what you are about to do to give you absolute guidance. As you recognize that this guidance system is yours, then as you are moving through your day, be sensitive to the way that you are feeling. And whenever you find yourself feeling negative emotion, stop whatever you are doing that is bringing it forth. For the negative emotion means you are negatively creating. Negative emotion exists only when you are miscreating. And so when you recognize you are having negative emotion, no matter why, no matter how it got there, no matter what the situation is, stop doing whatever it is that you are doing and put your thoughts upon what you are wanting. Now for the deliberate creating. Spend time, 15 or 20 minutes in every day is quite enough, where you sit quietly, undisturbed and not distracted by that which is around you, where you can think or daydream about your life, seeing yourself as you are wanting to be, seeing yourself surrounded by that which pleases you, thinking and being and doing as you most want to be. Now here you will find the clarity that will bring this all together for you. We've mentioned earlier that you are a sort of magnet. And what we are wanting you to hear here is that the way that you feel about you is your strong and powerful magnetic point of attraction. When you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity. When you feel fat, you cannot attract thin. When you feel lonely, you cannot attract companionship. It defies law, you see.
And so you say, but Abraham, this is what is. And we say, you live in a world that wants to point out what is reality. They say to you, face the facts, look at what is. And we say to you, if you are able to see only what is, by law of attraction, you will create only more of what is. You must be able to put your thoughts beyond what is in order to attract what you are wanting. A clear and emotional view of reality will root you like a tree to this spot. But a clear, happy vision of what you are wanting will begin attracting circumstances and events and other beings into your life to bring you to what you are wanting rather than to what you are getting. Now, of course, there may be much in your life that you are liking just as it is. Continue to see it that way, you see. Thoughts with emotion are what will affect change in your life. Thoughts that you think with no emotion will maintain what is already here. And so for those things that are in your life experience that you have created, you were emotional at one time or they would not be here in your life, those things you will be able to keep in your life simply by acknowledging your appreciation of them. But those things that you do not yet have that you want very much, you must give clear, conscious, deliberate, emotional thought to attract those things. The workshop, as we have just described it, creates that first half of the equation for deliberate creating that we have been speaking about. You have given thought, enough thought, that perhaps not on the first sitting, but eventually if you are giving enough thought, pondering long enough, mulling long enough, absorbing and including enough of the data, you will bring yourself to enough clarity that the universe, indeed your inner being, will offer you emotion. And once you have done that, one half of the deliberate creative process is complete. The other half is accomplished by moving through your day expecting to see evidence or results of what you have accomplished in your workshop. As you spend more time thinking about what you want, and then more time thinking about what you have decided that you want, so much so that you get excited about it, that once you have felt excitement, you have launched the creation. And then you have only to expectantly watch for the results. And you will find more and more of the things that you have been wanting flooding into your experience. It is law. You have gathered some questions from many.
Yes, I sure have. First, before we get into the questions, tell me, do these laws that you speak of, these universal laws, work even when we don't believe that they work?
They do indeed. That is why we say you are doing it even when you are not knowing you are doing it. That is why there is creating by default. You cannot turn your creative mechanism off. It is always functioning, and the laws are always functioning. That is why there is such value in understanding the laws. Not understanding them is a little bit like coming into a game where you are not knowing the rules. And as you are playing the game, you do not know why you're getting what you're getting. And that sort of game becomes frustrating, and most leave it, you see.
And so, how would you tell a person how to not get what they don't want?
Do not think about it. Do not give thought to that which you do not want, for your attention to it attracts it. The more you think about it, the clearer you will be. The clearer you are, the more emotion comes forth. Of course, if there is negative emotion, you do not want it. And if there is positive emotion, you do.
Mm-hmm. We're what I'd call a very civilized society, and in all economical material effects, doing relatively well, I would say. And yet, I don't see a particular joy in the people that I see around me on the streets and in the businesses and so on and so forth. Is that because of that factor that you talk about, that they have very little wanting and but a strong belief?
It is. You see, contentment comes from only one place, from wanting and then allowing and then receiving. And so those things that you are allowing, that you are not really wanting, they are not very exciting or very satisfying to you.
Right.
You've also said that when our wanting is passionate, that our belief doesn't need to be so strong. So how would you go about getting that passion into the workshop that you speak of?
There must be a beginning place for all things. In other words, many who we are interacting with will say, "Abraham, I hear what you are saying, but I do not know what I want." And so we say, begin by saying, "I want to know what I want." For in setting forth that statement, you will become a magnet that will attract all sorts of data from which you can make your decisions. Beginning somewhere and letting the law of attraction deliver unto you examples and choices, and then the more you think about it, the clearer you will be.
Could a person create in one particular direction when they've been led to believe by someone else that they're destined to create in a different direction?
If the wanting is enough, in other words, the mother that we mentioned earlier was taught by her society and by her own life experience that she could not pick up an automobile that weighed so much. And yet when her wanting was keen enough, she was able to do it. And so if the wanting is great enough, those beliefs can be overridden. Beliefs are very powerful, however, and they are slow to change. And so great wanting is important in that example.
But are there any thoughts from our past lives that are still creating or capable of creating in this current physical experience?
There are not. All beliefs that you hold have been created here in this physical life experience. There is much confusion about that. And it comes largely because those who are here are not wanting to accept that they are the creator of their experience. And so as they come to understand that they are, then they say, "I'm a broader being than this one life experience," and they try to expand their awareness beyond. They say, "I am fat in this life experience because I starved to death in the last." And we say, there is not that from past life experience which is influencing that which you are doing now. Unless in some way you have become aware of it and you are now giving it attention.
If in our concern for the welfare or the well-being of someone that we really care about, we find our thoughts drifting toward negative expectation regarding them, can we actually cause any damage to that other person just through our thoughts of a problem occurring in their life?
You certainly are not offering them any help as you are seeing them in the way that you know they are not wanting to be seen. But you cannot create in the experience of another. As you are envisioning them as they are, rather than as they are wanting to be. And as you talk to them about it, you may assist them in focusing on what is rather than upon what they are wanting, and you may influence their creating, but they are the creator of their experience, just as you are the creator of yours. If you are wanting to be of greatest value to them, see them as you know they are wanting to be. And as they see you see that, they will be uplifted to the achievement of that.
If a one has been programmed into something and they find that no longer desirable in their life, how can a person undo that?
I guess you call that beliefs.
You may heighten your wanting, or you may heighten your believing, or you may heighten your wanting and believing. In other words, you must deliberately apply the creative process. You must want it more, or you must alter the belief. Wanting it more is faster and easier. Altering belief takes time, for there are many beliefs within you, and they did not get there all at once. They got there by a sort of absorption or programming process, as you have offered. You are negatively influenced by two major hindrances.
Okay.
One is influence of others, and the other is influence of your own old habits. And so as you have developed patterns of thinking, you easily fall into those patterns rather than thinking the new thought that is in harmony with the new desire. It is a matter of utilizing a little strength, or as you say, willpower.
There's a term, your point of power is in the present. What does that mean to you?
It is in this moment, or in this present, that you are thinking. And as thoughts attract, as they are the beginning of all creating, then all creating is done in this moment. whether we are thinking of our future that is 10 years away, or whether we are thinking of our future that is 5 years away, or 5 minutes away, we are setting forth in this moment that thought.
Mm-hmm.
All power is now. When you feel emotion, you are accessing the power of the universe.
Right.
And all emotion is felt in the moment of the thought. And so as you are sitting here and thinking, but not thinking about anything that brings forth much emotion, you have not accessed your potential power. But as you are thinking a thought that does bring forth emotion, you do access the power of the universe. And you can only feel emotion in the moment. You could have an argument with someone 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And while they might not even be in physical form now, you could still be remembering that argument and feeling the negative emotion of it now. But the power is in the moment of the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is meant.
I've often wondered how the first disease or the first negative thing occurred, but would it probably not be true that the first most everything occurred through the thought of it? In other words, the first electric light, the thought came first and then the electric light. And so our advancement forward into more diseases or into more good or exciting things all is one step beyond something previous that, in essence, that most of us have thought.
It is. You see, every thought that has ever been thought exists in a sort of thought bank.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are pondering, you may make withdrawals from that bank. And as you put thoughts together in different combinations, you literally create new thought.
How would you describe the term imagination? What does it mean to you?
Imagination is the thoughts which go beyond the reality of that which is now. It is in part reaching into that great bank of thoughts and putting together different combinations, even without evidence or role model that exists precisely in the way of that thought. When we use the word visualization, it brings to mind actually seeing something. And some are able to imagine a picture, while others are able to imagine a feeling, while others are able to imagine a sound or words. While all of it is imagination, all of it is not visualization.
Right. How could a person visualize something that they've not yet seen, like a mate that they would like, or a child they would like to give birth to, or a kind of work that they've never seen, a vocation?
Again, it is important to begin somewhere. By saying, I want to know what I want, you will begin to attract, by law, all sorts of examples. And as you are collecting the data, as we said earlier, letting your dominant intent in the day be to look for things that you are wanting, then you can look around you and see in others those traits or characteristics that you would like to have in your own mate or companion. Truly, the perfect role model for you regarding any subject does not exist. You are the creator of that. Sometimes we hear it said, I wanted to be wealthy, and then I met a man who was wealthy, but he had bad health and a rotten marriage. And so then I decided that prosperity brings rotten marriages and bad health. And so I no longer wanted prosperity. And we say, collect the prosperity data if you wanted and leave out the bad health and the bad marriage.
So you can piece together the characteristics of the mate or the child or the work that you'd want.
And that is really the point of the workshop. It is a place where you can go undistracted, where you begin to formulate pictures in your mind.
So it doesn't have to be something that's already been ever. It has to be just what you want.
And as you are working in your workshop, you will find that in most cases it will not come to you instantly. You will know when you are clear, when you feel excited. Have you ever been working on a project and you thought about it? You thought about it quite a lot. And suddenly you say, I have a good idea. That feeling of, I have a good idea mm-hmm. is your point of launching your creation. In other words, you have been mulling the thoughts over until you have become specific enough that when you hit upon the perfect combination of thoughts, your inner being offered you emotion saying, yes, that is it. Now you have it. And so the point of the workshop is to think about all sorts of things until you have that sensation of good idea.
When a strong intention that we've been visualizing hasn't yet materialized, what's the most common cause for that?
There are two that are equally common. The first is you stifle it at birth. You say, I want whatever it is, but. Mm-hmm. And as you add your but, you cancel it or defeat it at birth. Mm-hmm. The other equally common repulsion of what you are wanting comes because you have wanted it. You have wanted it, you have wanted it, and it seems that it is so slow in coming because you are pushing it away with your negative thoughts, and you are noticing the lack of it more than you are giving your attention to what you are wanting. If you could identify what you want and then think about it till you get it, all things that you want would be yours very quickly. If you could spend your time envisioning what you want rather than giving your attention to the reality of what is, mm-hmm. you would be attracting more of what you want instead of more of what is.
Right.
It is a matter of changing your magnetic point of attraction. You must get your eyes off of what is, mm-hmm. get your words and thoughts off of what is, and put them upon what you are wanting. And the more you think and speak of what you want, the faster it will be yours.
How do you feel about telling someone, just be patient?
As you are giving thought to what you are wanting, knowing that what you are wanting is yours, it is a matter of allowing it into your experience, you will have not so much need for patience because things will not take so long in coming.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, patience is a resignation to slow creating, and we are not very excited about that, for we know that when you want it, you want it, and you will find your joy from having it as soon as possible.
Well, it's easy to take a step beyond where we are and do more than what we're doing, be more of what we are, have more than what we have, but how about what we call a quantum leap? In other words, something almost beyond anything that you've ever seen before to create something like that.
Good. Now you've hit upon the key. The reason it is easier for you to take those small steps forward is because it is easy for you to acknowledge the beliefs that you hold and stretch those beliefs just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You are not changing the beliefs, you are just expanding them a little bit. Where a quantum leap often means you must release your belief and adopt a new one. Quantum leaps are not achieved by enhancing the belief or allowing part of the equation. Quantum leaps are achieved by enhancing the wanting part. Would you not agree that that mother who lifted the automobile from her child experienced a quantum leap?
Yes.
If she had been in a gymnasium, it would have taken a very long time, little by little, to convince herself she could pick up something that heavy. But her wanting accomplished the quantum leap.
And tell me one more time, how do we fan that wanting?
Put your thoughts upon what you think you want. By law of attraction, more information, more data, more circumstances will be drawn. You see, it is a natural process that when you look at what you want, you will feel powerful, positive emotion. So it is a matter of holding your thoughts upon what you want until that powerful emotion comes forth. Go to the places where the things that you want are, so that you put yourself in that position of feeling wonderful. And as you are feeling good, all things that by your estimation are good will begin coming into your experience.
Then what would you say is the reason that almost everyone feels that they can create little things, but they feel like they can't create the larger things?
It is because they are not understanding the law, and they are hinging what can be based upon what has been. But when you understand the laws, then you understand that it is not more difficult to create a castle than it is a button. They are equal. It is not more difficult to create $10 million than $100,000. It is the same application of the same law to two different intentions.
What do you see happens when a person is wanting to test these laws or principles to prove them to someone else, to say, let me show you what I can do with this? Does that have any bearing on the effectiveness of it?
Others can be discouraging, for as they are not believing, they may influence you to some doubt. There is not a need to prove anything to anyone with words. Let that which you are, let that which you are living, be your clear example to uplift others.
Why do you feel that so many of us, in physical form, have this need to justify any good that comes to us?
Physical man has long been programmed, we will use your word, to believe in his unworthiness. There is a very powerful thought here in your physical dimension that says you are not worthy, but you are here to prove yourselves worthy. And we say to you, you are not here to prove yourselves worthy. You are here by the power of your ability to create. It was by the power of your wanting and by the power of your allowing, indeed, by your application of the very laws that we are discussing here, that you have emerged into this place. And your physical existence here is proof of your worthiness or deservedness to be or do or have whatever is here, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You have come forth as creators, not as regurgitators. When you are in the mode of justifying, you are usually in a negative mode, for you are not focused upon what you are wanting. You are trying to convince others that it is all right, and you need not. It is all right.
So many of the people that I've seen have had tremendous results in their lives. Joyous things happen materially and relationships and health-wise. Don't seem to put out that much energy to get them, seem to put out less than a lot of the other folks. So where does the physical work, or action, as we call it, part fit into your recipe for creating what we want?
Your thought is the beginning of all creating, and your action follows forth from the thought. Your action is more powerful than thought, actually, for it is thought reinforced with word and reinforced with physical movement. Your thought, word, and action all dovetail together rather nicely in this creative process. As you set forth your thought of what you are wanting in your future, you say, I'm wanting health, I'm wanting vitality, I'm wanting prosperity, I'm wanting safety, I'm wanting harmonious interaction with others. You set forth a sort of pre-paving of your future. When you say today that tomorrow you are intending to accomplish such and such, you begin the paving of tomorrow even before you get there. And so the action in the moment does not need to do so much of the work if your thought in advance has done more of the pre-paving. You are more physical action sort of beings now because you are not yet understanding the power of your thought. When you are better at applying your deliberate thought, there will not be so much action for you to tend to. For example, let us say that you are walking down a street and you look over and you see that there is a big bully, by your estimation, beating up on a smaller person. And the smaller one is really being hurt. You are faced with an uncomfortable choice. For your options seem to you, in the speed of this moment, to be only two. You can get involved and perhaps risk your own safety, or you may walk away and let them live their own experience, letting whatever happens happen. In either case, you are not happy, for you are not wanting to get hurt yourself, and you are not wanting the other one to be hurt. You are at the point of action. And no matter how much thought you think right now, the thought is too late. Now you must take action one way or another. You must stay and fight or run. Had you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, or even 1 day ago, even this morning, set forth your clear intent for safety, you would not find yourself in this position, for the universe would have provided a different set of circumstances for you. The one who sees himself as Savior, the one who sees himself saving little ones from big ones, finds himself walking into that sort of situation often by his prepaving of intent.
I have told people that my observation had been that those who worked the hardest had the least, and those who worked the least had the most through life. And yet, somebody had to dig the potatoes and milk the cows and drill the holes for the oil, you know, and do the hard work. Explain to me how it all works out so that each of us can still have what we want no matter what has to be done.
You are living in what we see as a perfectly balanced universe. If you could see yourself as a chef in a well-stocked kitchen, all ingredients that have ever been imagined are there in abundant proportion to make whatever sort of recipe you are wanting. It is our absolute knowing that if your society decided that they did not want to do a certain task, that by the power of your wanting, you would come forth with another way of doing it, another idea.
What are the chief differences in our life in physical form and your life in non-physical form? What do we have that you don't have?
We must point out to you that while you are a physical being here focused in the physical, that there is a part of you that exists even now simultaneously in the non-physical dimension. It is a matter of focus. Here you are focused in a physical dimension where you are entered into the agreements of this physical time and space and all of the earthly laws that exist. It is a nice environment for fine-tuning your knowledge. For here, your thoughts do not translate into instant equivalent. You have a buffer of time. And so as you set forth your thoughts of what you are wanting, you must become very clear, clear enough that emotion comes forth before you begin the attracting process. And even then, you must allow it and expect it into your experience before it comes. And that sort of buffer provides you much opportunity to be very clear. If you were in a dimension where you're instantly manifesting, mm-hmm. you would spend more of your time trying to get rid of your mistakes, as many of you are doing anyway, than you would in creating the things that you are wanting.
What is it in that buffer zone that culls out the unwanted from our thoughts before it physically manifests?
In most cases, it is not culled out. That is why most people you know have a little bit of the things they like and a little bit of the things that they don't like. They are creating most everything by default because they do not understand the rules of the game. They do not understand the laws. But to one who is coming to understand these universal, eternal laws, and by that we mean they exist even in your ignorance of them and they exist in all dimensions, for those, then their awareness to the way they are feeling is what makes the difference.
When you're visualizing or thinking about something that you're wanting, should you be looking at the means of attaining it as well as what you're wanting to attain, or would it be smarter to just look at the final result only and let the means more or less take care of themselves?
If you already have identified that you are wanting to participate in the specific means, then it is all right to give your attention to that. The key to know whether you are not specific enough or too specific is by the way you are feeling. As you are in your workshop, the specifics of your thought will bring forth the enthusiasm or the positive emotion. But if you become too specific before you have collected enough data, then you will feel doubtful or fearful. And so it is a matter of paying attention to seeking the balance of the way you feel, being specific enough that you feel positive, but not so specific that you begin feeling negative.
Let's say I said I wanted to be a teacher in a very joyous situation. Would it be an advantage to say, well, then I should decide whether I want to teach history or math or philosophy or I want to teach high school or...
That is all right. Let us take that example. I'm wanting to be a teacher. And begin pondering your reasons for wanting to be a teacher, even writing them, as in the exercise we offered earlier.
Okay.
I want to be a teacher, and these are the reasons that I want to be. I'm wanting to uplift others to the joy that I have found in knowing these things. As you are feeling good about the things that you know, you may add that specificness to your creation. But then as you are trying to be specific and you say, but I really am not very well versed upon this subject, then you begin feeling negative emotion, which is your inner being saying, back away from the specifics of this. You have not collected enough data. And then you may say, but I'm not knowing where I should teach. Let me think about it. Well, I would like to teach in a setting where there were those who were wanting to hear. And as I think about the organized school system, I see that most of them are there as captives, not as wanters. They are there because the law says they have to be. And I remember when I was a student in school, I was not reaching or seeking. And so you begin to ponder those sorts of situations where the student is there by his choice to be there. Perhaps a college, or perhaps that which is not formal education. You will know by the way you feel.
But you can go by just envisioning the end result and let the details take care of themselves completely.
Indeed. As you see your end results, you will begin collecting data to give you more specifics. And you will know by the way you feel as you collect the data whether it is appropriate or not.
And how detailed would you recommend our thoughts be about the end result of what we're wanting?
As detailed as you can be and still feel positive.
Is there any way that a person could possibly erase the slate of all the yesterday's experiences and thoughts that aren't any advantage to our joyous creating in this moment?
It is a matter of giving your attention to something else. In other words, when you say, I'm not going to think of something, immediately you are thinking of what you have said you would not think of. And so rather than trying so hard to erase the past, focus on the present. Give thought to what you are wanting.
If a person caught themselves in a downward spiral, like all the things that are important to them seem to be falling away or depreciating, how would they stop its motion and turn it in the other direction?
It is an excellent question. That downward spiral is law of attraction at work. In other words, it started with a little negative thought. More thoughts were drawn into it, more people were drawn into it, more conversation was drawn into it until it became a very powerful, as you say, downward spiral. It takes a very strong being to take the thought from what is not wanted when it is intense. In other words, when your toe is really throbbing, it is difficult to put your thought upon a healthy foot. In those extreme cases, we would suggest distraction rather than trying to change the thought. In other words, go to sleep or go to a movie or do something that will absorb your thought.
In a competitive situation where one person wins the trophy means that the other person loses it, how can each of them receive what they want?
By recognizing that there are many and unlimited trophies. Of course, when you are putting yourself in competition and there is only one trophy, you are putting yourself automatically in a situation of knowing that only one will win the trophy. The one who is clearest, the one who is wanting most, and the one who is believing most will win it. Competition can be an advantage to assist you in stimulating your clarity of what you are wanting and to stimulate or enhance your wanting. And for that reason, it is good. But we would encourage you not to put yourself in competition where there is only one trophy, but instead to see this world filled with enough abundance that all who seek may achieve whatever they are wanting.
Is there anything that we can want that's unrealistic?
If you are able to imagine it, it is not unrealistic.
Well, does that mean if I can envision it in any way that I have imagined it?
As you are seeing yourself within that which you are imagining, you are attracting the circumstances whereby you will find the means to create it.
Can a person use the same process that you're teaching of creation to create what I call negative things, like taking the lives of others or taking things from others against their will?
Is it possible for them to create what they are wanting even though you are not wanting them to want it?
Yeah, I would say so.
Indeed. For what they are wanting, they may attract.
Can we compound our power or our ability to create something by coming together as a group of people?
Individually, you hold enough power to create anything that you can imagine. Therefore, you are not needing to come together with others. The advantage to coming together is that you may stimulate the wanting. You may enhance the wanting.
Mm-hmm.
The disadvantage is that as there are more and more of you, it becomes more difficult to stay focused upon what is wanting.
Is it possible to create effectively when we're close in the company of someone who opposes very much what we're wanting?
If you are able not to let their thoughts affect your thoughts, you will have no problem with it. By using your power to ignore, or by being strong enough to focus upon what you are wanting, even while you are close to those who are influencing you otherwise, it is easier to walk away from it. It would be easier not to be close to them, not to be hearing them. But if we say to you, you cannot effectively create because you are in a relationship where the other is opposing, then we say to you, in this city there is much opposing viewpoint, therefore you cannot effectively create. Or in this world there is much opposing viewpoint, therefore you cannot effectively create. And that is not the case. By the power of your own clarity, you are able to create under any circumstances.
Are you saying that we get everything we think about, even if it's something we want or something we don't want, as long as it has emotion connected to it?
If you are thinking a thought and you remain focused upon it long enough, the law of attraction will deliver more thoughts unto it until it becomes clear enough that the emotion is added. And so technically, every thought that you think, if you keep thinking it, will become powerful enough to attract into your experience.
How can we get into a state of flow where the momentum that we've created is now adding to our growth, our forward motion?
By finding one small thing that makes you happy to think about it and focusing upon it until the law of attraction brings more and more and more. The more you think of what you want, the more positive emotion will come forth. And the more positive emotion that comes forth, the more you will think of what you are wanting. And so it is a matter of you deliberately and consciously making the decision of which direction of flow you are wanting. We have enjoyed very much interacting upon this most important subject, for it is our knowing that as those who are wanting to be deliberate creators of their life experience hear these words, they will find the key. You have just been offered the clear and absolute rules to this game of physical life experience. And as you look around, you will find that there is not a shred of evidence to the contrary. There is great love here for you.
Thank
you. We're enjoying very much your offering. We are complete.
And this concludes The Law of Deliberate Creation.